Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Not Smothers Day. It's not it Smothers Day.
It
although
isn't.
Although some mothers are smotherers.
It's true.
It happens. Yeah, they're smothering. Helicopter moms, they kind of smother. Yeah. So at any rate, we've been talking about your mother. yeah. There's a lot of those too going around. Your mothers.
Yep.
Yeah. The telephone number in the studio, 603-283-6160.
Oh.
Oh. In the studio tonight, it's...
Nikki.
And Richie Rich.
And the Captain.
Yo mama's so fat, she was overthrown by a small militia group, and now she's known as the Republic of Yo Mama.
We have more stuff to talk about, but we are a live call-in radio program.
Should probably do some of that.
And let's go to, he's from Baltimore. I think he said his name was Tom. Is that right?
Yeah, you got it correct.
Hey, Tom, welcome. Dude. You're on the air.
Hi.
That's a 50-50 shot.
You talked about immigration and naturalization, and you focused on citizenship. And I was wondering if the topic of different statuses of U.S. persons are classified under. In fact, you'll often hear people on television talk about a British national or a Mexican national. I don't know if a lot of people realize that there's such a thing as an American national.
What is, what would an American national be by definition?
Well, there's two statuses on the passport application, and I don't know a whole lot about this.
Okay.
It's been alleged, and it's my understanding, that as a national, you're basically opting out of the system. You don't fall under the United States jurisdiction, and that would affect your travel. That would affect laws. That would affect your taxes.
Okay, well, let's look at it from another perspective. What would a British national be?
British.
I don't know. That's why I was asking if the topic could ever come up.
I don't think, at least not for me, it's not to say I can't speak for any of the other hosts here on the other nights of the week. I'm only on Sundays as the first chair, and then I'm also on Saturdays as a co-host. But I have not heard this topic come up, and so I also am uneducated about the difference between what a national is in any respect, much less for which countries.
Yeah, well, hopefully we can get some folks who know more than us to call in. What's particularly interesting to me, and I'll leave you with this, is that many folks I've heard literally over the past couple decades attest to the fact that once they've switched their status from citizen to national, that they no longer require a driver's license. And in fact, I didn't know that you could even get not just a passport book, but a passport card.
Oh, yeah. And I have a passport card.
Apparently, once the Secretary of State is notified and you make your other notifications, you're in a database as not to be detained. Now, I don't think this applies to something heinous. If you murdered someone, I don't think this protects you. But when it comes to a lot of the adhesion contracts that people unknowingly subject themselves to, it apparently frees you from that. So hopefully we can get some experts calling in.
Yeah, the problem is with that explanation, you're not going to get experts. You're going to get conspiracy theorists.
Well, and you know, it's Free Talk Live, too. So I'm just wondering if this is where, like, diplomats come in, because I remember, you know, diplomatic immunity.
Yeah,
right?
From the 80s action movies.
Which movie?
Oh, we can't arrest him. He's got diplomatic immunity.
It was a lethal
immunity.
Weapon, right? Yes.
Sure.
Diplomatic immunity. Says yeah. The bad guy, right?
I think that's the gold card of this sort of status. They
well,
get away
tell
from
that to Julian
thing.
Assange.
Yeah, this isn't quite like that. There's a fellow named Roger Sales who's been studying this for many, many years. Maybe you could have him on as a guest or listening, maybe you'd call in.
Yeah, 603-283-6160. Tom, thank you for the call. We appreciate you. Yeah,
that's a big who cares for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to note that there are different statuses.
A British national to me sounds like a tourist. Right? Oh, he's a British national.
Well,
he's not going to be here for very long. His allegiance is to Britain.
Right. It's surprising to me to find out like just how deep these rabbit holes go. But what was more surprising to me is finding out that, you know, as a philosophical anarchist. My, you know, sort of vision of a better world is one that, well, doesn't include an organization of violence and coercion known as government.
Sure.
And it was really interesting to me as I sort of was coming to these conclusions and you know, embracing anarchy as a philosophy, that there are people who are already stateless.
Sure.
Right? And these are sometimes they're refugees. Sometimes, you know, they were born in a country. They had to flee for some reason. Their parents took them away. You know, dad kidnapped them because mom, you know, wanted them and, you know, they got a divorce or something like that. There are people who find themselves stateless through no fault of their own.
Well, even if it
wasn't.
And
at first I thought to myself, sweet, there's already a bunch of us. But no, they're actively trying to, like, be adopted by a government.
Yeah.
Right. So if you were now to give up your United States citizenship,
yeah.
Right, like where would you get deported to?
Mm.
Where are they going to send you?
Yeah, I don't know.
You're not a U.S. citizen.
International waters.
So just
off to sea.
I guess they could banished. Space. They could space your ass.
Okay.
Yeah.
So basically, just murdered.
I mean.
Okay. All right. Fair. That's an answer. Right.
It's probably not the right answer, but if
you're stateless, you know, in any form or fashion and no one's going to home you, right, or give you or naturalize you, where are you gonna go?
What's that movie with the guy, his home country, he's traveling and his home country gets blown up, so then he's just stuck in the airport?
Terminal.
Yes. It's like that. You're just gonna be stuck in the airport forever, exchanging bottles for quarters so you can buy hamburgers.
Okay.
Hmm.
And even that, right, that's a government problem.
Yeah.
Because the government won't let him out of the airport.
Yeah, just let him free and let him go do whatever.
You've got no place to go, but you can't be here.
I was thinking that we should find these stateless people and bring them to New Hampshire.
But they wouldn't necessarily have those same philosophies of freedom. They're just like wayward people.
But like, you know, there's enough freedom-oriented people here to go, hey, look, you're in a very unique position, one that we enjoy. Here's why. Give them some education, right? Throw it at the wall, see what sticks.
Yeah.
How many people do you think are really in that position, though?
Thousands. Tens of thousands, even. Right? Like, according to the thing that I read about it. Right? But, but like, it wasn't... I didn't read a thing that was talking about anarchism or the philosophies of freedom or anything like that. I was reading something that was just talking about, like, the article was making it out to be like, how sad it is that bureaucracy is at such a place where these people, you know, can't even find it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like, you know, like, not only is it possible, but it exists. And, like, the people who have it have no clue that there are people striving for that.
And, I mean... I do believe that we are in the minority with our beliefs of freedom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think the majority of people do like having the comfort of a government or, you know, someone to tell them what to do. Like, that is a sense of security for them. You know, maybe they like whatever.
Yeah.
They don't mind taxation. They like the benefits that government brings them.
I know when people travel overseas, right? They go on a cruise or they take a flight for a vacation or whatever, right? And they get their passport or whatever. They feel like, oh, if something goes wrong, I can just go to the U.S. Embassy and they'll help me out.
Yeah, it's that sense of security, you know. But it also, and I... it takes away a sense of self-responsibility in a way. And a lot of people don't want that, like, 100% self-ownership and self-responsibility, because it is a big, you know, that's a big responsibility to have.
Yeah.
As an adult, you should be able to handle that, but most people can't / don't want to.
Right. Having government do things is outsourcing evil. Right.
Yeah.
You're unwilling or incapable of performing the evil yourself, and so, we'll just outsource it.
Well, people just ignore it. You know, they're like, well, we need welfare to help the poor, and, you know, I need law enforcement just in case a crackhead breaks into my house, and, you know, this, that, like, I need these services, you know, even if they're, you know, school, like, libraries, hospitals, things that make sense. They want these services, so they're okay, or we'll just ignore all of the atrocities and the crimes.
Of how it's provided.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, well, I know you're murdering people, and like all of this is horrible and corrupt, but at least we have public school and hospitals.
But I'm not giving up my school.
You know? But like,
you
what about the roads, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Who was going to pave the roads and, you know, put orange cones everywhere?
So the most famous stateless guy I remember probably hearing on this show, Mike Gogolski. And I was able to find the wiki because the name popped back in my head.
Nice. You are the recall guy.
Is political activist and freelance translator, one of a small number of former Americans to have voluntarily become stateless. He renounced his citizenship December of 2008. Though his name did not appear on the IRS quarterly publications of individuals who chose to expatriate. He was living in Slovakia at the time. After Gogolski renounced, the Slovak authorities issued a stateless person's travel document to him.
Hmm.
So they've come up with a category of bureaucracy for stateless people.
Yeah.
It's better
How
than...
How ironic.
Better than nothing, right? Otherwise, you get trapped like Terminal Guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Right, yeah.
So
and it's just being recognized. Like, oh, we recognize that you're stateless, whatever.
Right. You know? I don't know how many other...
Did he have to pay a fine? Did he have to pay the $30 fee?
To renounce his citizenship.
Register?
To renounce his U.S. citizenship.
No, but I mean to be stateless.
Oh,
to get his, you know, his recognition.
Sure. If it was only $30, would you not pay it?
And no, I'm just saying the irony. I don't care how much it costs.
Right.
It's
yeah.
the irony of like, oh, I have to pay.
It didn't say he bought. It said they issued.
Yeah. So
right?
I'm just saying it would be humorous.
And he's eligible to apply for Slovak citizenship, but prefers to remain stateless.
We can talk more about this, but let's go to the phones. We have an unscreened caller. What's your name, please? You're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, Willie from New York.
Hey, Willie. What's on your mind? You're on the radio.
Yeah, well, first I wanted to compliment the newer gal. I know she's not real new, but she's been doing great. Just think she's really good on the radio, on hosting. I really appreciate her input.
Okay.
Must
thank
be talking
you.
About you.
Yeah, thank you.
Ricky Commonwealth, he's the Confederate Democrat. He's trying to call every night. And Confederate Democrats, they're the ones who were for the slaves before it got switched around.
Yep.
Now, if there's anybody I don't
Not
like...
Not only that, he admitted it last week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he admits that he is a racist. So, I mean, he acts like he's a Democrat... And he has Democrat policies, but he's still like Johnny Byrd, the KKK guy that Biden likes. You know, John Byrd. Yeah. So I just I don't like him calling in. And then he was on Beer Talk last night. And, you know, we can never – I know you guys don't have the extra lines and time, but, you know, I get on there and I try to talk and he can't – he don't know what he's talking about.
I'd be surprised. We have enough lines and enough time.
Okay, yeah, you guys do what you guys can sometimes, so I don't try to call in when he's on, but I'm trying to get a hold
you
of
totally
him because
should.
You guys, because I know you guys are a real hardcore libertarian, but I got a little, you know, I lean to the left libertarian, a little to the right libertarian, you know, I just all over the place, I just can't get it sometimes, you know.
I can't speak for any of the first chairs, but if you call in while he's on the line... Right, it's not unheard of to have two callers on at the same time if they've got beef. They don't do it often, but it has been done in the past. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I'd like to do that. With Willie from New York calling out Ricky from the Commonwealth.
There you go.
Any time, ready.
People,
thanks, Nikki.
People keep calling Ricky out.
Willie, thank you.
Enemies.
Thank you for the call, Willie. Willie's awesome.
It's like, you know, like our New Mexico folks and Ricky are like, they got a lot of haters.
Yeah.
Probably because they call every single night and people are sick of them.
It's justifiable hate, though.
I'm not a big fan of bridging callers together like that.
Then don't call them captain's first chair. All I'm saying is it's been
I know done. Ian will do it from time to time.
Sure.
I think Aria's done it before.
Absolutely. I remember, so when I first moved here and I first kind of started listening to Free Talk Live, yeah, I work night shift, so sometimes, every once in a while, I need something to entertain me. I just remember one night, I was having a particularly boring night at work, and I was listening to an episode of Free Talk Live where Ian bridged, I forget who it was, but two hilarious callers. I think it might have been Major Payne and somebody else.
Like Jerome?
It was, yeah, I think so. But yeah. And I forget if it was an old episode or a current one. I couldn't remember, but I just remember it being so freaking hilarious. And I'm like sitting there, like in my dark room, whatever, hysterically laughing, trying so hard to like keep quiet. And it was, I just remember really enjoying it. And I was like, I like this show. I think I'm going to keep listening to this show.
Right.
So that's my review.
I'm just letting Willie know that I don't make the decision, but it has been done in the past.
And it has been hilarious.
And there's nothing preventing it from doing it in the future.
And I mean, he has called out, you know, so Ricky, the Commonwealth.
Yeah.
So
you heard that, Ricky.
Yeah.
Been put on blast.
You know he's listening.
Maybe.
I think so.
Checking the Weather Channel. Is it snowing yet?
He's looking at the granular hourly forecast.
Do Walmart. I need to go get toilet paper?
Toilet paper. Yeah.
Wait a minute. If you can separate a roll of paper towel into two rolls of toilet paper, maybe I can put two rolls of toilet paper together and make a roll of paper towel.
Just keeping up for your man pond.
Man pun.
Oh my gosh.
I never heard that phrase until tonight.
Yeah.
I was today years old.
And I don't know if that's would be the correct terminology for what he was talking about.
Well, because it doesn't go all the way up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, what do you do when your Stay Free maxi pad catches on fire?
Oh, I don't know. Scream?
You tamp on it.
Oh gosh. Anyways.
That's right. That was an uninteresting joke. We have more to talk about, I believe. And if we don't, well, we'll make something up. Because that's what we do here.
That's how we roll.
That's how we roll. We want to talk about America's Atlas Shrugged moment has already arrived. New IRS data shows. What does that mean? What's an Atlas Shrugged moment?
This means people are moving for more freedom.
Oh, mm-hmm. I thought they were just going to watch this movie or read this book.
Well, they should do that, too.
This is one of those cases where the book is way better than the movie.
Yeah, I have not seen the movie because I'm not a movie girl.
Well, the movie's
but
in
I
like
really
three parts, and like it's so boring. Like,
really?
Like I watched it, and then I'm like, oh,
I didn't even
my gosh.
Know there was a movie. It's, to be completely
really
honest,
it's really like the third part is really where all the good stuff is, the philosophy, the people acting, and the sort of the description of why, and you know all that kind of stuff. The first two movies are basically just leading up to the third one.
It's not bad that it's in three parts because the book is in three parts.
Right.
Right. What's bad is the first movie was fine. And then there was no funding for the second movie.
Yeah.
And the third one was like kickstarted. And so there's no continuity among actors, actresses, or the actual, you know, arc of the movie.
Oh, that's
terrible.
It's like
three separate movies that don't belong next to each other. But they're called part one, two, and three.
So just read the book.
If you can.
Yeah. You can. Read the book.
The book is better.
Or listen, audio book it.
Okay.
All right. So.
Some people can't handle it. So like.
Oh, whatever.
Ayn Rand's best work is terrible.
This article is from FEE, which is the
Foundation for Economic Education.
And it says, it's not just high taxes that are driving people out of cities. There are other costs, moral, social, and cultural, associated with spurning property rights and celebrated looting. Last September, billionaire Ken Griffin announced he was pulling up stakes and moving Citadel, his gigantic hedge fund, from Chicago to Miami. The Windy City was out of control, he told Bloomberg, something that dawned on him after a colleague made a coffee run and was robbed by a thief who put a gun to his head. It's no secret that Griffin's exit is part of a much larger migration taking place across America.
You know what would have prevented that is if they only had the thief go through a psychological examination first.
Yeah, no kidding.
And then be determined to not be able to have the gun.
Why you got
to
bring up old stuff?
I'm sorry. All I'm saying
Thank
is
you,
that this
Rick. Do I got to call you Rick E. Rick now?
All I'm trying to say
all
is
I'm saying
be a
is
process.
That psychology has made such advanced progress that it should be possible.
We're on the same page
it's
now.
A good idea. Anyway.
That guy would never have gotten a gun if he had to go to a psychiatrist or psychologist first.
Data show. Shows? Show? It's singular here. Data. Oh, it must be the character from Star Trek.
Well, that's singular.
Data show that several populous blue states, California, New York, and Illinois among them, have been losing population and companies for years. We've been talking about that here on Free Talk Live.
Yep.
The exodus of employers, the exodus of people, the exodus of families, entire families, multiple generations.
Didn't Tesla just move to Texas, right? I mean, how much money do you think Elon Musk spent to move his company out of California?
Yeah, it had to be
it
worth,
must have been worth,
it had to be
millions
worth
of dollars.
That much money for him to move.
Right.
Or less, he wouldn't have done it.
Spent less than California would have taxed him in the long run.
Right.
Yeah, or
right.
whatever he was trying to get away from.
What can New Hampshire do to attract those big companies, though? It feels like they always go to Texas or Florida.
No, they can stay in Texas.
You don't want big companies here?
I don't want Tesla here, no.
I'm not saying Tesla. I'm just saying bigger organizations.
We'll take more gun companies.
There you go.
You know, all right with that.
Okay.
Okay.
In 2021, Forbes wrote about leftugees.
Nice.
There's a portmanteau for you. Fleeing blue states for red ones. A few years before that, a headline in The Hill touched on the great exodus out of America's blue cities. New IRS data, however, shows the speed with which blue states are losing taxpayers and their adjusted gross income, AGI, is increasing. A recent Wall Street Journal analysis found that more than 100,000 people left Illinois in 2021, taking with them some $11 billion in AGI. Nearly double its 2019 total. For New York, it was $24.5 billion, an increase of more than 150% from 2019. California, meanwhile, saw its AGI loss, $29 billion, more than triple since 2019. That people are migrating from these states is important, but who is migrating is equally important, and the data paint... I don't know why this is all singularly.
Because data is also plural.
The data paints a bleak picture, then it should be, and data paints a bleak picture, not the data. The data turns it into a singular. At any rate, data paints a bleak
the
picture
horses?
For states. Taxpayers giving up on Prairie State and the Empire State made about $35,000 more per year than the new arrivals. For Florida, the data are even more stark. The average income for a new arrival to the Sunshine State was roughly $150,000, more than double those leaving. In other words, the geese with the golden eggs are flying away, writes economist Daniel Mitchell, referring to this IRS data. 603-283-6160. Have you moved? Why? Have you moved to a different state financially? Tell us why. 603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live is coming up.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas says there's been a dramatic drop in Border Patrol encounters since Title 42 ended last week, but he said it's too early to say the expected surge has peaked. The new chair of the National Economic Council says preventing default is a basic responsibility of Congress. Speaking on CBS's Face the Nation, Lael Brainard noted that Congress has prevented default 78 times in a row, and the Biden administration expects lawmakers to, quote, do what is necessary to prevent default again. Biden is expected to meet with congressional leaders on Tuesday, CNN reports. Ukrainian President Zelensky says an upcoming military counteroffensive is aimed at freeing occupied territory in his nation. Speaking in Berlin on Sunday, Zelensky said, quote, "We don't attack Russian territory. We liberate our own legitimate territory." Jerry Marmash, USA News.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. shopsupertea.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Day here on Free Talk Live. I'm not a mother. Are you a mother?
No.
Are you a mother?
No.
No mothers here. So happy Mother's Day.
I'm not even a dog mom.
To not us. They're, like, that I really count. Don't like that
it
terminology.
Sometimes.
Like, my pets are my kids. No, they're not. No, they're not. They're your pets. If you treat your kids like your pets, you deserve to not have children.
No, some people treat their pets.
Well, better than their kids. Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, you're right. It takes all kinds. It takes all kinds, I guess. 603-283-6160 is the phone number if you would like to join us here on Free Talk Live. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass. Joining me,
Nikki.
And Richie Rich.
Now we just have to go and cry. Mama, 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 you're.
That's right.
Amazing.
Your mom. Those are horrible harmonies, by the way, but, like, you get the point, and they're hilarious. They're
your
horrible.
Mom was so
yeah,
ugly.
Hilarious.
When she was born, the doctor slapped your grandma.
Oh, man.
Interesting. All right. We've been talking about... What have we been talking about? Vaust? No, that's not it. No.
Fee.
Fee, right.
The Atlas Shrugged moment.
The Atlas Shrugged moment. Oh, yeah, migrations. The only migration that I mean, this is all interesting stuff so far, that people are moving out of red states into blue states and that kind of a thing. Or blue
mostly the other
states.
Way, yeah.
Blue states into red states. Sorry, I got it wrong. And that's fine. People should do that. If you have really any kind of advantage to take by moving somewhere else. I don't even care if it's a state, a country, an island, you know, whatever. If you have some, it's going to make your life better for you to move somewhere.
Yeah, do it.
Do it. You know, if it's important to you, do it. Right? You only live once. You're not going to get a second chance. Don't live with regret. Right? You don't want to end up being like, oh, gosh, I really wish I'd have done that. Right?
Well, and honestly...
Do it legally.
I think it's so important because
do it however you need to make it happen.
I'm not the kind of person that feels like I need to convince everyone to think the way I do. Right. I understand that not everyone is interested in freedom and liberty. That is perfectly fine. If you are, move to New Hampshire. If you're not...
Don't move to New Hampshire.
Exactly. Like, just be somewhere else, like California, New York. Like, there are places.
Yeah. Stop at the Massachusetts border.
Yeah, and stay there. You know what I mean? So, like, there are places. I believe there's a place for almost everybody where they can be mostly happy, but they just have to get there. You
except
know, like,
for people who love freedom.
I mean,
we're trying to make New Hampshire that place, but it is not that place currently.
And at least there's like-minded people.
That's
you know,
the best
like,
part.
And
yes.
Obviously, like, nothing's perfect, but you can go to a place that is closer than where you came from.
Yeah.
You know, like, it doesn't make sense for liberals to live in Texas or, they're all up in arms about the abortion thing. Well, go somewhere where people move to California, move wherever where people think the way you think. You know?
Yeah, it's surprising to me how many people haven't really ever self-examined. And I don't even mean physically. I mean, like, they don't even have, like, a personal philosophy.
No.
Much less philosophies, right? They've never even traveled down that road to find out how do they think, right? They think, but most of the people... the common people, anyway, are what I like to call repeaters.
You know,
right? They watch the television and they repeat what they heard on the television because that's what school taught them. Taught them to take in some information and then
regurgitate,
repeat it.
Yeah. Yep. And I think that is, you know, that actually is an important point because I do think that a lot of people have absolutely no clue or no care what is going on around them in the world. And I mean, that sounds terrible, but. Whatever. If they want to be like mindless robots and just, you know, focus on tabloids and whatever.
Ignorance is bliss,
that's
man.
Fine. And I guess then they can just be happy wherever they are. You know, maybe, you know, politics and the happenings of the world isn't important to a lot of people and they just love their distractions and, you know, whatever.
Guilty.
I don't think that really fits you though.
Like my
I pay attention, but I mean I don't care to involve myself in most things.
Yeah, I mean
I'm there too. Yeah. Like I care.
I want to go home and play video games.
But I thought it
which
through,
is fine.
Right? Like I thought it through and I go, "Oh, okay. Well, spinning my wheels and putting a whole bunch of effort into you know, getting the right person into office.
Yeah, no
that's
thanks.
That's a losing proposition. I'm going to expend an insane amount of time and effort in an attempt to do that and then fail. Because, well, other people much smarter than me have already tried to do this repeatedly and have also failed. Now, that's not to say that you wouldn't succeed, Captain. Like, well, isn't it, though? You know, it's been 200 years.
Yeah.
It's been more than 200 years, right? The United States of America was supposed to be the smallest government on earth ever created by man. It was supposed to be this tiny thing where government was only going to do these two things or whatever it was. And
all of the enumerated powers in the Constitution.
Yeah, and now it's the largest empire planet Earth has ever seen. Somebody called last night, it was a lady, I don't know if it was during Free Talk Live or Beard Talk Live, but she asked this question. Well, is the United States really such a bad place to live?
I mean,
and like we didn't really
no
answer her.
Yes.
We didn't really answer her, and so I wanted to answer it now. I'm sure she's not listening, but
perfect time.
It's not that living here, you know, is good or bad, right? It's about the situation. If I'm living in a house with whoever owns the house is abusive to everybody that lives there, but the house is really nice, should I stay just because the house looks nice? No, I should leave because I'm being freaking abused. Hello, citizens of the United States of America. You are in an abusive relationship with the organization you refer to as government.
So leave the United States.
Well.
Well, where are you going to go?
Yeah. And there's the crux, right? It used to be up until 100 years ago, that 200 years ago maybe, that there were still places on planet Earth that you could go that were not claimed by some form of government. That day has long expired. And if you think about it, in a way, that's almost what the United States was. It was a bunch of British people wanting to get the F out and away from the British Empire, right? And so, well, they went and found this land that was unclaimed by the government, even though there were like some
There were people here.
Okay. But it wasn't claimed by a government. And so, you know.
It wasn't claimed by a European form of government.
Okay. Right. Well, and
Indian,
you know,
tribes.
Yeah, Indian tribes don't seem to have had any version of state. They had hierarchy in their tribes, yes.
Yep.
But they did not have anything that resembles a state, an organization with a monopoly on the initiation of force.
Yeah. So we have to explain it to them. Say, like, no, what you need here is a monopoly with the initiation of the use of force.
And, of course,
Don't kill people that way. Kill people this way.
And, of course, they went, well, that doesn't make any sense. That's not how we do things. And they go, oh, well, we're going to have to kill you then. And then they did.
Sure.
And then threw them all into reservations and, you know the rest. Right? History.
Unfortunately.
History is there for you to learn from, even though we learn from the past, that seldom do people learn from the past.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is we should colonize Africa.
I've never led any raids down in Africa. You know that song by Africa or Toto? Africa?
Yes. It's
I.
A parody.
No, it's somebody else's parody.
Okay.
It's not mine, but I bless the rains. But if you listen to it closely, it kind of sounds like I've led some raids down in Africa.
Okay.
So there's that. At any rate, what were we talking about?
Migration.
Oh, yeah.
Still talking about it.
Migration. So this article continues, going off the rails. Needless to say, the data does not bode well for the future. But not everyone is concerned. The Atlantic accepts the reality that major migration is underway. One that undercuts the conventional wisdom that democratic states are the future, but rejects the idea that they are dying. New York City isn't some dystopian wasteland where no one can see their future, writes Jerusalem Desmas.
They have a rat czar.
Yeah, I would actually disagree with Mr. Jerusalem Desmas.
I like your dog. Oh, that's a rat.
I don't want to go anywhere that has a rat czar.
New York City is probably the closest, maybe Chicago is there too, probably the closest to a dystopian wasteland where no one can see their future. The article says this guy may be right, but it's hard to deny that there is dystopian character to what we're witnessing in many major U.S. cities, including surging crime, failing schools, and social unrest. Yet there are reasons to believe these problems are going to get worse and not better. Losing wealth creators and affluent workers doesn't just affect the economic landscape. It also affects the political landscape. And yes, in the previous segment, we talked about, or this article talked about, how the people leaving make more money than the people replacing them, if they're even being replaced, by like large percentages, double, triple, depending on the state or the city that they're leaving.
Well, that's the Atlas Shrugged part, right? So, like, people are punished for being, you know,
For doing well.
They're punished for being wealthy, and they're also punished for just being useful.
Yes.
You know, the act of being productive is being punished in a lot of these places.
Yeah.
So people are leaving, and all that's left is, I don't know, we don't want to just call people, like, welfare, all these people are welfare recipients, but they're not actual, like, they might be productive, but they're not business owners, they're not entrepreneurs, they're not people that are, you know, contributing a lot of tax revenue. They're just kind of like your average workers.
I also like the people complaining about the billionaires getting billionaire things. I can't believe Jeff Bezos has that, you know, $48 billion yacht.
Yeah, because he's a billionaire, and if you were a billionaire, you would probably have one too.
Understood, but if he's paying $48 billion for a yacht, right, someone's building that yacht.
Yes.
Someone's being employed.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of people
are being employed for years, right, to cover the cost of that yacht to deliver it to Bezos.
Yeah. Well, everybody.
It's not unproductive, right? It's just those people are getting paid and you are not. And you're upset because you're not getting the welfare.
And
because productive people are getting paid for the service.
And, sure, some depreciation, but if it's maintained, that amount of money, that amount of value remains within that boat, right? So whenever it comes time for Bezos to sell that boat, he's going to get billions of dollars for it, right? Maybe he gets more than what he paid. Maybe he gets less. But either way, it's not like that value evaporates. It sits there in the boat.
You know what their issue with it is, though, is, you know, a lot of people like to think that if they were a billionaire, they would donate all of their money to charity. Oh, if I was a billionaire, I would solve world hunger and
I'd save all the children.
And no one would actually do that. And I mean, you could argue, you know, people who are more charitable would never even get to the point. Like, they're not necessarily driven by money, so maybe they would just never become billionaires. Like, we could argue back and forth about some of those philosophies, but the point is,
Even if that were true, right, the amount of employment that goes in to producing a $48 billion yacht is significant.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, of course.
And that money, you know, flows through the economy after those workers get paid.
But they don't see it that way.
But they don't see it that way.
You know, the point is, they don't care about that. All they see is they just see the yacht. Which, okay, ridiculous or not, like, yeah, you might not need to live in a $47 million house.
Who cares?
I don't care because, you know, it's your money and you can do whatever you want with it. And, you know, everybody wants to think, well, I would spend $40 million on feeding homeless children. But, like, you probably wouldn't.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Or, again, if you paid for the house, right, someone's got to maintain it.
Yep.
You've got you know, employees, cleaners.
But it's not selfless enough, which is the issue with, like, a lot of people have.
It's employing people. It's making them productive.
No, but you're still getting something in return. You're supposed to do something and not get anything in return at all.
Well, this
which is unrealistic. And no one really, I mean, yeah, we do some selfless good acts, right? Whatever. But I just, it's the expectation is a little unrealistic, and these rich people get demonized a lot.
Yeah. It's true, they do.
Maybe they are demons. I don't know. Whatever.
It's petty. It's jealousy.
Yeah, it is. It's jealousy. Yeah, that's a great word for it.
You know, and depending on what you want to achieve in life, right? If you want financial independence, you want to have a bunch of money, and, you know, a yacht and a mansion and that kind of thing. Well, you're gonna have to go hang out with people who already have that stuff. You've got to find that, you know, or have some sort of insane, you know, talent in, like, sports or singing or something like that, right?
Where contribute that much value to society.
Yes.
And you will get paid that much value back in return.
Right.
It's a trade.
Yeah. It really is.
And it's a win-win if government's not involved.
Definitely. It's far more of a win-win when government's not involved.
Understood. But, like, Elon, you know, he's kind of a welfare whore. And
a little bit.
I don't know, you know. Bezos has connections with the CIA.
Oh, I'm sure. So, yeah.
So I don't want to group them and say, like, oh no, they're free market heroes, right? But generally speaking, absent the state, right, you get more than what you put in, and so does the other guy.
Yep.
That's what makes the trade a win-win.
Right.
So if you're going to have billionaires, right, in a free society, they have contributed more than that, right, to the value of society.
In order to be where they're at. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's a fact. There are reasons to believe these problems are going to get worse, not better. In a recent WSJ, Wall Street Journal, op-ed, Alicia Finley pointed out that this primarily works to the political benefit of public sector unions and welfare activists. They're talking about the migration where people who earn less are replacing the ones who leave who are earning more. And they're saying that this benefits the public sector unions and welfare activists. Cities are losing the voters who keep their leaders from going off the rails. Finley writes, noting that Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot was defeated by Mayor-elect Brandon Johnson, who ran to her left. Johnson's margin of victory was relatively thin, some 20,000 votes. That's a fraction of the 175,000 people who left Cook County from 2020 to 2022.
Yeah, if you thought she was bad, he's worse. And they voted him in to get her out.
And it stands to reason that these are the very people the city needs to get back on the rails. One can see the cyclical nature of this phenomenon as cities in blue states become more confiscatory, if that's even a word, and hostile to property rights. They drive out wealthier people and wealth creators. And as prosperous people leave, the politics become more confiscatory and hostile to property rights. And the cycle continues. Confiscatory is confiscate is the root word, or take, steal, right? Appropriate without permission, confiscate.
Which is why people are upset about immigration, right? Because the people coming in to get on the welfare, right, will tend to be the ones replacing the people leaving and then voting left.
Is that really happening, though?
Yeah.
Are people coming here just to get welfare?
But probably not at the percentage.
Yeah.
Significant.
There's probably more people that are already here that are just like, yeah, I don't really want to work. Oh, maybe I can just collect my welfare.
Yeah, like
probably more people doing that than there are immigrations.
It's just, like, all of the immigrants I know all come here and they work.
Understood.
You know what I mean? It's always like the lazy Americans who are like welfare whores.
All of the immigrants I have ever met outwork me, and I consider myself to be a hard worker.
I would generally agree with that statement. Yes, and you have to accept that there is going to be a percentage,
sure,
maybe a fraction, right, that are coming here for the betties.
Whatever. I mean, and that's the thing. It's like, I can't even get that upset about that because there are already people here doing that on a larger scale.
I think most of the immigrants are coming here for the benefits, not the welfare benefits.
Sure.
But the benefits of the situation that is the United States of America currently, that there is more opportunity for them here to work and make a living and support their families and that than there is wherever they're fleeing from. Right? They're not necessarily coming here for the benefits of welfare.
Yeah.
They're coming here to benefit themselves and their families by working hard. They're willing and able, and I'm still flabbergasted by the fact that the narrative has changed from they're coming here to take our jobs to they're coming here to take our welfare. It's like, okay.
Well, it's a projection.
Like, if they're coming here to take your jobs, get some new skills, pal. Right? If you were privileged enough to have been born here, live here, grow up here, you went to school, you got yourself a degree in something, and you can't find a job, but an immigrant with none of that, who's just willing to work hard, can get a job, something's wrong with you.
Well, I mean, you can get the job, but do you really want to do back-breaking labor for $3 an hour?
I'm saying that the immigrants are not taking our jobs.
Understood.
Yeah, we need. I mean, there's a ton of jobs open. Please come here and, you know, work wherever.
There's something very Randian in all of this phenomenon. After all, the basic plot of Atlas Shrugged involves a small group of industrialists living in a dystopian future in which they struggle to keep their businesses afloat while fighting against an oppressive government and mooching politicians. Eventually, they say, to hell with it, and walk away, taking with them their wealth, creativity, and innovations. This is very similar to what we're witnessing, except that we're not talking about just a few rich industrialists like Taggart and Reardon, two of the heroes of Atlas Shrugged. It's not just the Ken Griffins who are leaving, but hundreds of thousands of wealth creators who are voting with their feet and opting for greener pastures of opportunity.
Smart.
I was reading something about the United States war on cryptocurrency, the current war on cryptocurrency that the United States government is obviously waging, and that the cryptocurrency entrepreneurs, the coders, the people who sit on the boards of these things, of all these cryptocurrencies, they're all moving outside of the U.S.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of them. Because it's just not friendly for them to do business here. Does that sound like what this guy's talking about?
That's their fault. That's partly their fault. Because early on, right, when Bitcoin was free and the Wild West, right, a lot of those early entrepreneurs went to the government and said, please regulate us so we know what we can and cannot do. And they did go and ask for everybody else that came out.
They did go and ask for definition. And,
yes.
my philosophy is,
and then the government started the regulation, and now they got to go.
Right, but this is still an exodus because of unfavorable governance.
Understood.
Right? And so in that way, it also reflects this. So not only is this happening with people moving out of cities, but it's also happening in what is probably going to be the replacement industry for currency.
Okay.
Right? 10, 20 years from now, everything's going to be crypto.
I'm just saying a lot of the... I'm just saying that it was a...
I understand what you're saying, but like you're making a point that has nothing to do with this story.
Okay.
What I'm saying is that not only is it happening in the cryptocurrency industry, but it's also happening as this story describes, where people, individuals, are taking it upon themselves to move from one state to another because of how oppressive the laws are when it comes to them keeping any of their wealth. There's also... The numbers in here make me think...
Or wanting to get rid of their babies.
There's numbers in here that make me think, wow, because they're talking about $100,000, $150,000 a year earners, right?
Yep.
Now, I don't know how much y'all make, but like in the grand scheme, that's not a lot of money, right? If you make $100,000, $150,000 a year, people are probably better off than most, but like for those people to be moving, we're not talking about multimillionaires. Right, we're not talking about people who have, you know, multiple properties, and I got, you know, and I own a business. Okay. No, we're talking about people who probably work for like a tech company or something.
Yeah.
You know, that maybe they're management level.
But
that
if you
kind
can
of
make
thing.
That money in Texas, right, you can afford bigger houses in Texas,
right,
than whatever apartment you're renting in San Francisco,
right, or Seattle, for example,
for the same pay,
right. And so the fact that it's happening to lower salaried earners is interesting to me. If it was just like entrepreneurs, if it was just business owners, like, okay, that's a sign of something.
Grocery cost goes up, man.
If yeah.
Those $100,000 earners are struggling to pay their bills.
Yeah.
Right. They can still afford to get out. And they lose.
We are out of time for this evening's broadcast. Thank you to all of our callers, all of our listeners. Thank you, Richie Rich. Thank you, Nikki Sunshine, for joining me tonight. As always, a good time. Thank you to your mother. If you missed any part of the show tonight, you can find the archives over at freetalklive.com. Thanks, and peace.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.